Welcome to Get Real with Casey Kasem, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of the fantasy football industry through insightful interviews with some of your favorite personalities. I'm your host, Casey Kasem, and on today's episode, we have a special guest, Rachel, also known as Tootsie Pop 6. You might recognize Rachel as the host and creator of Unwind, a unique fantasy football event for women, or perhaps you've read her captivating articles as a writer for IBT Media, but chances are, you've probably encountered her vibrant presence in the draft room. In this episode, Rachel shares her experiences from the Fantasy Football Expo to the exhilarating Scott Fishbowl live draft. We delve into the origins of her Tootsie Pop moniker, her innovative use of Zoom to connect women in fantasy football, and her unwavering loyalty to the Minnesota Vikings. Join the podcast as we explore Rachel's journey from content consumer to content creator, including her podcasting debut right here on this show. Plus, we uncover a whole lot more about her passion for fantasy football and community building. Be sure to follow Rachel on Twitter at TootsiePop6 for insights and updates. And don't forget to connect with me, Casey Kasem, on Twitter at TheCaseyKasem, and follow the podcast at GetReal_pod. For all of your fantasy football apparel needs, check out Sunday Dreamers Club, my fantasy football t-shirt store. Visit SundayDreamersClub.com. And don't forget to explore my content collaborations with South Harmon FF, Roto Baller, and Fantasy Six Pack for even more fantasy football insights. This podcast is a proud member of the DAP Network. So sit back, relax, and let's dive into today's episode of Get Real with Casey Kasem, featuring Rachel, Tootsie Pop 6.
I feel like it's a great spot to start, like, actually making it sound like this is the podcast and it's starting.
All right, we will get started, actually. Okay. So, yay. Okay, so my friend is here, Rachel. Hi, Rachel. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Casey?
Oh, man, I'm doing awesome. I'm doing awesome. It's really cool to be able to record during the day. Sorry if you guys hear people mowing their yards, but I guess it's that time of the year. I don't know. So Rachel's here. I know that a lot of people probably want to get to know you more. You're kind of a figure in the space that people know as someone who has been a person who takes in content, and now you're in the world of fantasy football and the industry and the space and the community. But before we get started with all of that, I just kind of want to get a background on you and sports. When you were growing up, did you have a relationship with sports, or did you start watching sports later in life? How did that go?
So I did not have a relationship with sports growing up. I didn't start paying attention to football until about 2017. So it was much later than everybody else that is in the community. I was noticing that the Minnesota Vikings were doing well that season, and just, you know, you hear people talk about it at work, or your family's talking about it, or at the grocery store, you'll overhear things. So I'm like, I better start paying attention. Let me start watching and seeing what the Vikings are up to. And I started watching, and I was like, oh, this is exciting. It's definitely exciting when your team is winning. Right. I enjoy that part. And then the Minneapolis Miracle happened shortly thereafter, and that was, you know, epic. And I still love that moment to this day.
Yeah, that was a good one.
So that's when it all started.
Fantasy football is a big part of your journey in football. It's kind of like an extension of just watching the Vikings. Now you get to play fantasy football. How did you stumble across fantasy football in the first place?
So it was at work. I was overhearing coworkers talking about the league that they were in at work. And I was like, what are you talking about? What is this fantasy football? And can I play? And so that's where it started. 2019 was when I started fantasy football. I did my very first draft. It was on ESPN that we played on with that work league. It was myself and one other woman, and then the rest were male coworkers. I drafted Adam Thielen as my first pick, homer pick. From the Minnesota Vikings. I've been a fan of him from the beginning. Still am. I found my draft sheet the other day while I was decluttering my house, and I saw that I also drafted Kalen Ballage. So I did not know anything my first draft. So that's a little embarrassing, but I think I've learned a little bit since then.
Yeah,
and
we
that
all
sounds like I just totally dogged on him. Sorry, Ballage truthers.
It happens. It happens, though. You know, like, I'm sure my first draft, I can't remember my first draft, but I know that I was clueless. And I knew that, like, Odell Beckham Jr. was like a guy I kept taking in mock drafts and kept getting yelled at for, like, why are you taking him so early? I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. So I get that. So fantasy football and the community on Twitter is such an awesome space. You know, it's
when you're a fantasy football fan, to find fantasy football Twitter is kind of mind-blowing because you get so much information and there's so many people putting out content. So when you first came into that community, how did you find the fantasy football community on Twitter and how did you start interacting with them?
I think it was during that first season, that 2019 season. I just fumbled through the draft and picked players, but I was like, I'm a kind of on anything that I do. I don't like to half-ass anything. I'm 100%. So like, I need to figure out how to play this fantasy football. I want to win. You know, I want to have that bragging rights with these coworkers. So I discovered there was fantasy football content creators on Twitter. So I started looking up people and following their content and reading the articles, listening to podcasts. And that's when I found Kate and Michelle and their Ball Blast podcast. I credit them to this day for how I learned fantasy football. I was faithfully listening to their podcast and learning everything that they had to share. I like to say that Kate is my 101 of fantasy analysts. I consider her an inspiration and she's a mentor to me. And I finally got to meet both Kate and Michelle a couple weeks ago in Houston. So that was a dream come true for me.
Yeah, that's super awesome to hear because I know that those ladies are super rad at what they do and to have those people that you can turn to and get advice from. That's super awesome. I was a big fan of her fantasy football. So other ladies that are also in this space. And it was one of those things when I got to meet, you know, I got to meet Brandon Marion Lee and I was like freaking out about it. Cause it's like, here's this person that I respect that gives me all this advice, such a supportive person. So it's great with Kate and Michelle as well, because they've been so supportive in the space. And it's nice to see that. And when you started interacting with people and started finding more accounts to follow and all of that, was there a certain type of content that you were more into at the time? Was something that you were drawn to, like podcasts, or did you like reading articles, or was it a mix of all of those things? What were you into?
I think it was a mixture of everything. The Ballblast podcast, number one, the articles, and then a lot of the Twitter engagement, just trying to interact and ask questions and interact with the individuals on Twitter. Like I got to know Mike Reedy. He's somebody early on. Joey Wright was another person early on that I would connect with and ask my questions to. They were all welcoming and receptive to my questions. Even they might have been really dumb, but they never made me feel that way.
Yeah, that's always nice to have people that you can turn to that don't make you feel dumb if you feel dumb, because I know I've asked plenty of dumb questions in my life. And it's nice when people are like, look, there's no stupid questions. We'll answer these questions. We'll help you out. We all start off having to learn how to play fantasy football to do all this. And so when you first started playing back in 2019 to where you are now, do you feel like you've learned a whole lot in that time frame?
Oh, I think so. Definitely. Yeah. I definitely feel very comfortable with redraft for sure. Started dabbling in Dynasty last year. That was my first year with Dynasty. And the two leagues that I played in Dynasty last year, I won the championship. So I might have picked up on that.
Yeah. Sounds like it. I like that.
I tried IDP last year for the first time. That is a challenging beast. Oh my gosh. I am nowhere near an expert on that. I think I want to keep trying, but man, it's hard.
Yeah. IDP is a whole different beast. And I know when I talk to people on here that play it, that are like in love with it, I'm like, I really wish I had the passion for something as much as you have the passion for IDP. So keep with it. See if you like it. Keep going with it. Yeah. Redraft. So feeling comfortable with redraft. And I know most people start off playing redraft. So that's kind of a nice way to dip your toes in the water and kind of get that under your belt. When you play redraft and when you do dynasty, I know those are two different beasts as well. Did you have to change your mind frame when you first started playing Dynasty to switch it from the redraft brain over to Dynasty, or how are those learning situations that you had to go through?
For sure. Yeah. When I was drafting the Dynasty last year, I did rely on a friend to kind of help me, because it is a whole different mindset that you have to look at the younger players and think of like longer term, who's going to be beneficial. But also I like to balance it with some that are going to be current now, because I wanted to win. And
right.
And I did.
And it worked.
So I had Christian McCaffrey last year. Go. So that was a big help.
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely. When you went into that draft, when you had a draft for your dynasty leagues, did you go into it nervous? Did you go into it excited? What were your feelings going into that draft, since it's different. I know the startup is completely different than doing a redraft draft.
Right. Yeah, I was definitely nervous. I didn't know what I was doing. So like I said, I relied on a buddy of mine to get his input on what should I pick here and between like a couple of players. I mean, I still drafted the Rachel way because I like to make my own picks, but just trying to determine, is it too early for the second quarterback or what have you? But I mean, I just had really great league mates too. So that makes it really fun. Like in one of them, Hoove was the commissioner and he was very encouraging and recruiting me to try Dynasty, and Hope Myers was part of the other league and she was saying, you can try it. It's fun. Come join us. So just like the community aspect of getting to play with a variety of players has also been thrilling.
When you play fantasy football, do you have a certain type of league that you're more of a fan of? Is there like settings or maybe a rule or something, even a league size? Is there something that you find to be your favorite type of league?
That is definitely a very good question, because I've been trying to. So I commissioned one league that I started in 2022. I call it Crushing It, and it's with some people that I met at the first expo in 2022. And so I'm trying to decide if I want to mix up the settings and trying to explore that a bit. And then I might chat with some friends in the industry and see what other people like for settings. But I think the normal 1QB league, a redraft, is in 12-team, and the 12-team league is my favorite. It's the standard, and it's what I know, I guess.
Yeah, I like going that kind of way, too, because it's just, plus when I first started, that's kind of how it was anyway. And so, like, I like to be comfortable. I like to be in the same types of leagues. You know, we added Superflex to our home league, but for the longest time, it was one quarterback. I don't even know if I know how to play one quarterback anymore. It's crazy how many different types of leagues there are out there and settings and all of that. It's in like, then you have leagues like Scott Fishbowl, for example. And
oh my gosh.
Yeah. How I know that you've participated in it. How many years have you participated in the Scott Fishbowl?
3 years. So I started in SFB 11.
Awesome. And so over the years, I know that as you go, it gets even cooler and cooler. And there's so many different experiences with it, meeting people through it and all of that. How have you just seen it grow? For people that don't know what the Scott Fishbowl is, it's a charity fantasy football league. It's huge. Go check it out, scottfishbowl.com. I always plug Scott Fishbowl because it's such a great thing. Fantasy Cares is such a great thing. But just like, how have you seen it grown since you started to where you are now and the kind of fun aspects of the Scott Fishbowl that you've been able to participate in?
Well, number one, Scott Fish, the man, is an incredible human being. I've had the pleasure to meet him a couple times. He's so down to earth. You know, he's this big name in the community, but you would never know it once you're talking to him. He's just another person. And just the big thing with Scott Fishbowl is it's all about community and bringing people together. I've gotten to meet so many people in the fantasy industry that's been really thrilling to make those connections.
Yeah, I mean, it is so awesome and so great to see how many people come together because of this, and then just becoming friends with people through it, and just the community and everything, and having it bleed over into events like the expo and everything where, hey, we were in the same division. Hey, you know, this, that, and the other. And it's just really cool to get to do that. You said also that you are a commissioner of a league with a bunch of people that you met at the Fantasy Football Expo, which we'll get into the Fantasy Football Expo in a little bit. But I don't really talk to that many people about being a commissioner. And I think I need to, because it is part of fantasy football. The commissioner aspect, the commissioner role is part of fantasy football. So being a commissioner, especially since 2019 was your first year, and then taking over and being a commissioner, when you started being a commissioner, did you have to do any research or figure out what you needed to do? Or how did you manage to get it situated so that it was a successful league that would run properly?
I think the number one important thing for our league that I put together was the people. It's just a bunch of really good people. And when people were asking, like, what's the fee for it? I'm like, just bring the good vibes. Good vibes only is the only thing I require. And it's all about bragging rights and getting to play together. And everyone was enthusiastic to play. And I was so surprised last year that they all wanted to do it again. I'm like, really? Okay, let's do it.
Do it. Yeah, it's great to have a good group of people that you're playing with. I know that I've been in leagues before where you're like, man, nobody talks, nobody is active, you know. Having an active league is important to me, at least. So it's nice to be in a league with people that you can respect and that you're friends with and all of that. That is really cool. And the fact that meeting people at the expo and getting to know people and having them come join a league that you created is just, that's got to be an awesome feeling, right?
Definitely. And it was important for me to get Kate and Michelle involved, and they were on board. That was thrilling. And I know I talk about them a lot, but they know I love them.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, there's certain people that I am just like, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for those people. So I get it. You wouldn't probably be where you are if it wasn't for them. So I totally get that. No,
exactly.
That's awesome. And I've been saying that's awesome a lot because all of this is awesome. The community just makes me happy, and people like you just make me happy, and having all this content from all of you, it's just great to see. And let's go into the expo, because I was talking with Bob Long a couple of days ago, and now I'm like on this, I got to talk to everybody about the expo. I need to get more people to know about the expo and to know what it is and to know what the community is like. So your first year going, how was that experience for you?
I was incredibly nervous. I heard about it on Twitter, about this expo. I'm like, oh, that sounds fun. And for some reason, I decided I wanted to go, and I made plans to go. And so I went. But when I got there the first day, and there were some people around the DoubleTree bar, and they're all talking to the friends that they knew, and I felt really out of place. I'm like, I don't belong here. What am I doing? I don't know football. I don't know fantasy football. I don't belong. And then later that night, I was walking back to my room, and I passed by JJ Wenner, who just, with his welcoming demeanor, he just reached out his hand and like, hi, I'm JJ. What's your name? And that was game changer for me. That made me feel welcomed and made me feel like, okay, I can do this. I can get through this weekend, that it's okay that I'm here. I don't know anybody, but I can get to know people. And I was just going to go with it. All because of him.
Yeah, when he was on the show, so he was on, I know you know of this, but yeah, he was on the show a few episodes ago, and we had that conversation about the time he met you at the expo and kind of made you feel more comfortable because he knew that that's kind of how he was too, you know, going into it. So yeah, making other people feel comfortable is awesome, and going, it is awesome. And going to the expo and having a bunch of people that all probably feel the same way you do is also pretty cool, because it's like you're nervous, but it's like a good nervous, you know. You're getting to meet all these people and talk about something that you love so much, and even if you think you don't know anything about whatever, you do. You know more than you know, and or than you think you do. And just the experience that you had, like from the first year to continuing to go to the expo, like how has it grown for you? How has it changed for you? Does it get better every year? How does that go?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Last year, I already knew much of people, so I wasn't as nervous. I saw some of my friends right away and like, hey, how's it going? And met some more people I didn't know. So it does get better each year. And the first year is going to be nerve-wracking for any newcomer that goes, but just, you know, go up to someone and be like, hey, I'm so-and-so. And you know what? You're going to feel welcomed right away. And then, yeah, each year just gets better and better. I'm really excited for this year. I can't wait to have some more fun and see my friends again. And I need to say, Casey, too, in my first year at the expo, when I saw you at the expo party on Friday night, I'm like, that's Casey Kasem. I need to meet her. And you were my very first picture that I got with somebody at the expo. So I was fangirling big time, because I followed you on Twitter as well. And I was like, I love her content. And it was amazing to meet you and your wife, Sarah. And that was also, you guys were also very welcoming.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it was so great to get to meet you too. And the coolest thing, you know, to me is people are concerned that if they go to the Fantasy Football Expo, that you have to be a fantasy football content creator, or you have to be a big name in the industry, or you have to, you know, have this resume, so on and so forth. And that's really not what it's like. It's a group of people who all love fantasy football, all love football, and all love talking about it, playing it, and putting out content if they do. And going into an expo and not being a content creator, because at the time you weren't putting out any content, you were consuming the content. So were you concerned about any of those things, or were you like, I know this is for fans too, so I'm coming, I'm going to meet people, it's going to be great?
Yeah, I definitely was very concerned. I was very nervous. I'm like, okay, these are going to be big name industry people. What am I doing? I am just little old me that just started playing fantasy in 2019. So I don't even know a lot about playing fantasy. What am I doing? But like I said, yeah, people like JJ made me feel comfortable right away. I met Joey Wright that first year, another name dropping of him. And yeah, so I met other people that were fans or content consumers like myself at that expo. And it's for anybody. And there is people that are there, as there's families that go, there's spouses that go, with their spouses that are in the industry. So it's for anybody. It's not just content creators. It's not just even those that play fantasy. It's just a bunch of good people that get together and we have a good time.
And besides the people, because obviously the people are like the number one thing about the Fantasy Football Expo, what was something at the expo that you enjoyed the most? Was there an activity or some sort of party or whatever? Was there something that you enjoyed besides just the people?
I would say that from the first expo, the 2022, the Women of Fantasy Football panel at the expo, on the Sunday's expo, I think you were part of that for that very first year. That was very significant for me as a content consumer and playing fantasy football, seeing all you women that are doing your thing in the industry. It was very inspiring. I was like, oh, I can play this game. I can learn how to play this game. See that panel that very first year. And then just all the panels that year and the panels last year. It's just fun to learn different things.
Yeah, the panels are really super cool. I don't get to as many as I want to or as I need to. But yeah, it's really cool to be able to go and sit in and listen and just learn and just take it all in. So that's really cool. And bringing up women in this space, there are a lot of really awesome. There's that word again, guys. It's not a drinking game, but there's a lot of really cool women in this industry. There are a lot of just fantastic minds. And I know that Unwind is something that's important to you and people might not know what that is. So if you want to kind of just give your explanation as to what Unwind is all about.
So yeah, after the expo last year, I was just really in the withdrawal of missing my friends, especially missing my girlfriends that I hung out at the expo. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to see these people until next year. Is there a way that I can hang out with these friends now? And then I was like, well, what about a Zoom hangout? We all can connect on Zoom. We learned through the pandemic the fun of technology and how that can bring people together. So I floated the idea to a few friends. I'm like, what do you guys think about this kind of a hangout idea? And everybody loved it. I'm like, oh, well, let's do it. And so I had this vision of just bringing people together, just to hang out. So so that started last October, and we've had 8 events so far. In the average, maybe about 20 attendees come to each one. And in the grand total, there's been 57 different women that have been participated in an Unwind event. And so it keeps growing. We have the next one is next week, March 20th, and then we have one April 12th. So if you're interested in joining, give me a shout on Twitter at TootsiePop6, and we'd love to have you join.
Yeah, definitely. I got to join one. Life comes at you fast, so I can't get to all of them, but I did get to go to one, and it was super interesting because I'm going to say interesting because there were so many people I didn't know, and it was like, wow, the space is so much bigger than I can even wrap my head around. So I'm sure seeing so many more people come in, you're meeting so many more people. Is that right?
Exactly. Yeah. And even some people have joined Unwind that I haven't met before. So I'm getting to meet them through this. And it's just been a joy to connect the other women throughout the community through this endeavor.
And how does it make you feel to see so many women interested and excited about this fantasy football stuff?
Oh my gosh, it is so thrilling. It fills my spirit. Each Unwind Zoom, I just feel so like fulfilled and my heart is warm. Like there's a lot of laughs during these Zooms. There's a lot of great conversations and it's just really been inspiring.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's super inspiring too for people who just are starting out or just got into the fantasy football world and they're not really sure what to do or how to navigate it or anything. And having that like safe space where everybody can come and chat, that's just such a great idea. And it's so awesome that you came up with that idea. When you have when you have all these women and content creators, and are there women there that don't put out content as well? Is it open to anybody that's interested in fantasy football? Yeah.
So, yes, and it's open to anybody, yeah.
And has anybody ever said, like, they don't put out content, but maybe they're inspired, or maybe they haven't said it, but they're thinking it, I'm sure, but that you all are inspiring them.
It's bringing on some collaborations within the group. People are getting to know each other. People are being guests on other people's podcasts. So things are growing and spawning off from this.
It's just like a little mini expo of awesome women in this space. That's so awesome to see people guest on each other's podcasts. Because I know that I've guested on people's podcasts by joining chats and getting in, you know, video chats and doing all of that. So be able to bounce off ideas off of each other and just find people that enjoy what you enjoy and have them come on your show. Because I know how hard it is to get guests on shows. It's pretty hard. But if you kind of make a connection with somebody, it makes it a lot easier to get people to come on your show. So that's great to see.
Oh, definitely.
And the Unwind event and women in fantasy football and all the women who are putting out content or just people that consume the content, just all the women that are just in this space. I know that there's more and more people behind us. Like, there's so many men in this community that are behind us as women that want us to succeed. So, and I know you've brought up some of those guys when you're talking about people that, I mean, every time you said a guy's name, I'm like, he's super supportive. So how does it feel to see the male population, you know, be behind us and supporting us?
Oh, it's so amazing. This community is unlike anything else. There's so many great people that are there to lend a hand, to lend some insight, to offer some wisdom. It's just really encouraging that this is a world for anybody. It's not just for like the top elite, you know, analysts. It's for anybody, the people that just enjoy playing at a casual pace or what have you.
Hey, fantasy football fanatics. Are you ready to suit up in style this season? Introducing Casey Kasem's Sunday Dreamers Club, your go-to destination for fantasy football-inspired apparel. And here's the touchdown pass. Throughout March, you can score a whopping 15% off your order using code GETREAL at sundaydreamersclub.com. That's right, savings galore on the coolest gear in the game. But here's the extra point. Your support means the world to me. By snagging a shirt, you're not just gearing up for fantasy football. You're also helping fuel my journey and helping to keep this podcast going strong. So huddle up, folks. Head over to sundaydreamersclub.com, punch in code GETREAL, and grab your gear before the clock runs out. Don't keep this deal to yourself. Spread the word, and let's make fantasy football legendary.
We're going to go to the content portion of everything, which is, you know, a lot of the reason people listen to this podcast is because they want to put out content. They don't know how to get started or they don't know if their ideas are going to hit. I've been in that boat, so I get it. Like, when I put out content, sometimes I'm like, I don't know if this is going to be for everybody. And guess what? It doesn't have to be for everybody, but sometimes, you know, it can be a little concerning. So how did you start putting out content? What did you want to do when you were putting out content?
So I've been asked by people in the industry for like a couple years now, like, you should put out content. Come join us at this group and you can write some articles. And I was just like, oh, that's not me. That's not what I do. But then last summer, I started thinking about it a little bit more. I'm like, well, if I did content, what would I want that to look like? So I just started thinking like, well, I just really enjoy playing fantasy football. What if I took the perspective of being a fantasy football player and my relationship with playing that hobby and connecting that to the football itself? And just giving the kind of the personal perspective and the personal connection. And then that spawned off to the community, the fantasy football community, and talking about the expo and what that has meant to me over the years. So I just took it from the, let me just write what I know. I don't know a lot of the stats, like some of the data-driven analysts, which is amazing. I am in awe of the people that are really knee deep into the data, and I'm trying to learn more and more, and I'm going to keep trying to learn more. But I decided to start with let me take the personal perspective. And I found that it has really resonated with people, with some, with other content consumers. They were able to like, oh, wow, that you're right. There is a place for me as well.
Yeah, that's great to see. I know that I was kind of in that boat too. People were like, you need to put out content. You need to put out content. And I was just consuming content. And that's what I was there for. I wanted to consume content. But then I was like, I love interacting with these people. So why don't I put out content, right? And I love that you went with the personal aspect to it. I know that reading about your expo experiences and reading about, you know, that kind of reading is really grabs you, because regular articles, I'm not going to lie, sometimes I just skim articles, even my own article. Sometimes I'll just skim it. I'm like, you know, and to be able to kind of have a connection with somebody or kind of get their backstory is really cool to see. So that's what I look for in when I'm consuming content, is that kind of personal connection. So it's cool to see you actually go out there and do that. Putting out content, kind of scary. Right? Kind of scary.
Definitely. It's a big new world that I don't know a lot about yet. So,
right. We're all learning. It's fun to learn, but you're going to go look back at your stuff and you're like, wow, really? That's what I was doing? I do that all the time. I'm like, really? I wrote that? So, and then with podcasts, I mean, then you're like, really? I said that? So podcasting is a whole beast too. I mean, podcasting is something I never wanted to touch, and then like slowly dipped my toes in the water and slowly started guesting on people's podcasts and doing all that. How comfortable are you like when you have to go like on a live show, or do you do that kind of stuff? Do you go on podcasts, or how does that work with you?
Well, Casey, this is my very first podcast. I've never done it before.
Here we go, guys.
It's always been something that scared the bejesus out of me.
I'm so, you know, this is a behind the scenes exclusive. We got the exclusive here with Rachel, because like not doing a podcast, and this is the nice safe space. This is the cool, if you know, this is the podcast to join if you're joining one for the first time. But you're so good at like hosting the Zoom calls with Unwind and doing all of that and just facilitating all of that. So don't be nervous about being on podcasts for sure. And that's my advice to everybody, is just like, don't, you're going to be nervous. I'm nervous. I'm still nervous right now. Just being in front of a microphone just gives me the woo. But you're very knowledgeable, and you're very good at keeping the conversations going and keeping it. And that's what I look for in podcasting. So you might want to get into that. I'm going to be that person that's over
here.
We
shall see.
I mean, it's always worth a try, you know? So putting out content and putting your personal touches on it and connecting with people that way, I really enjoy that. When you have an idea for something to put out, like how do you brainstorm what you're going to write about?
A lot of times I get an idea, and then I tend to sit with it for a while, and I try to discern, is this a really good idea or is this a crazy idea? You know, most of the time they feel crazy, but then they end up being amazing. Or maybe it's just my own perception. starting with the diary idea and then Unwind, I'm like, is this crazy? So I have a few close confidants in this community that I'll bounce some ideas off. And most of the time I get the reassurance like, this is amazing. You should keep going with that. So then I just take it to the next step.
What kind of advice do you have for people that want to put out content, but they're kind of in that same boat that you were, where you're like getting at, even if you're not getting asked, but you want to put out content, you just don't know how to do it. You don't know where to start. Where would you go with that when you're talking to people that are trying to get started?
I would say, first of all, surround yourself with good people. It's important to have a good team of people that have your back. It's really encouraging to have people that support what you're trying to do when you're brand new with something. And I think being true to yourself is very key.
Content creating it's a lot of work. It is a lot of work. And you have to be mentally prepared to know that like sometimes it might seem like a whole lot. And sometimes it might seem like, you know, you're in this groove and you're able to pump out content and everything's going great. How do you keep yourself focused, keep yourself grounded when you're putting out content? Do you balance? You do have a good balance with life and all this other stuff?
My very first season for content creating, so I think I'm still learning to figure out the balance. So I did the diaries that were my personal experience with fantasy football. And then I also did some prize picks articles through IBT Media. And for those articles, those went out weekly. So that had a set frequency. So I set aside a specific day during the week. So I think having the discipline of setting aside time is something I learned this past year that I will implement going forward.
Yeah,
because it's so easy to get distracted by real life. I have a day job like most of people do and have family. I have a cat that's very spoiled. There's just, you know, life just comes at you. So I think having the discipline and setting aside time, like this is the time I'm going to work on this, and then make that a priority.
So where are you putting out content? Because I read your bio, but for the people who don't know who you are, what are you doing right now?
That's a great question. With the off season, I'm trying to figure out what I should be doing. I don't know if you other people that have made content have an answer. How do you handle the off season? Because it's like a weird thing. We're not playing fantasy football. I don't have a lineup to set. I don't have waivers. I don't know what I'm doing with my life. I do work with IBT Media. I did prize picks articles throughout the season. Last week, I actually put out an entertainment piece. So that was fun to dabble into something different. And I think I'm going to explore some more of that area this off season just to try different things. I'm really enjoying writing. I actually had a creative writing major in college, but just many years have passed and I just haven't written much until I started the fantasy football diaries, and I'm just finding myself through writing. Mm-hmm. So I just want to keep exploring and trying different things, and I feel honored and privileged to be at a place like IBT Media where they can where I can do a variety of different things, and I've got the free space to explore and try things, and I get feedback, I get support from that team. So I'm just looking forward to continuing to learn and continuing to try things. You know, not everything is going to work out. You know, I might fail. I tried my hand on one article this past year that I may, you know, maybe not my proudest one. I won't say which one. but maybe that's something we all experience with our content creating. You were saying earlier too, like, oh, I really said that? I wrote that? What? But yeah. That's just part of life. We grow and we evolve and we just find ourselves.
I'm glad that you touched on the fact that you hadn't done any writing for a really long time, because I do like to bring that up, like, because I hadn't done any writing in a really long time since college, you know, and so I'm like, can I still write? Like, I know I can write.
But, oh, like, my gosh, I had that too. Like, do I know how? Oh, my goodness, what am I doing? I know I want to write, but I don't know what I'm doing.
Well, you found the right spot, the right home to be at, because I know IBT is big into, you know, being a community and putting your personal spin on everything. Like, Seth is super awesome with that. And I have to give him kudos, because when I first talked to him, just to see that he was putting out content that was different than what other people were putting out as well. And to see stuff like when Matthew Berry puts his Love Hate out and does all that and gives you personal backstory. So yeah, you found the right home with IBT for sure. When you aren't putting out fantasy content and you're not playing fantasy football and you're not running Unwind and you're not doing all these millions of different things, what do you like to do when you have downtime? I know you have a kitty. I know you were talking about your cat. What do you like to do when you have all this free time? When you have all this free time. Yeah, right.
I also love to travel. I did a Caribbean cruise a couple weeks ago. It was, I live in Minnesota, so it was very nice to be able to find the sunshine that is. I enjoy traveling, enjoy hanging with family and friends and a good TV show or movie. I enjoy napping. I enjoy eating, yes. Going out to yummy restaurants.
Right on. What's your favorite thing to get when you go out to a restaurant?
Mexican food.
Yes. Yes, girl. Yes. How's the Mexican food in Minnesota?
There's one restaurant in my town that I go at least once a week. It's so amazing. I took my whole family there this past weekend. I'm like, you have to try this place.
Yeah, I will agree with you on Mexican food. It's delicious, delicious. And yeah, I'll eat it anytime I have the opportunity, because I love me some enchiladas, that's for sure. Okay, so you were talking about how you watch movies and watch TV sometimes, and you did just kind of dabble in entertainment. What was the entertainment piece that you were putting out?
I did a kind of a movie review on the Oscar-nominated film Past Lives. And it was one of the movies that I watched while I was on my cruise. I was like, oh, let me check out this movie. And then it just stayed with me for a week or two. I'm like, maybe I could write something about it. And so I sat down and tried my hand on it. And of course, with Tootsie Pop Style, I added some personal touches. I kind of brought in my own personal experiences and my own past lives and made a connection through that.
And you said, and my Tootsie Pop Style, which is awesome. Where did the Tootsie Pop come from? I'm sure people want to know that.
Okay, so I was in a sorority back in college, and that was my nickname that they gave me. They called me Tootsie Pop, I guess because I'm wholesome, or that's the perception at least. And so it just kind of stuck with me. I just, yep.
Awesome. Yeah, I was wondering that, you know, every time I, like, people will be like, Rachel, Tootsie Pop. And I'm like, yeah, look, there you go. So it's good to have something like that that sticks with you. Like, Kasem sticks with me. So now, there we go. To be known by different things. Besides, I mean, traveling is so awesome. Like, and I'm jealous of you because you got to go on that vacation. And I need to see the sunlight, like really see the sunlight. So, I mean, I know you're in Minnesota, so me being in Texas, I don't really have any room to complain about sunlight. But, you know, the winters in Minnesota, I've never been to Minnesota. Like, just tell me about Minnesota in general, because I've never been there. I know there's so many fantasy football people that are from Minnesota. It's insane. But how's living in Minnesota?
Well, typically the winters are cold and snowy, but this winter has been unusual. We haven't had a lot of snow and hasn't been bitterly cold. It still was gloomy, though, so I still needed to find the sunshine. But the summers here in Minnesota are amazing. They're nice and warm. And my family growing up, we always went to the lake in the summer. We like to fish and swim in the lake. So there's a lot of fun Minnesota activities in the summertime. Yeah, it's just where most of my family live. So that's why I'm still in Minnesota. I always complain about it every year at the winter. And I'm like, I need sunshine. But, you know, it's home. It's home. It's where it's I grew up.
And you can go on vacation. You proved it. So you like to travel. So that's cool. You know, have your home base, but be able to go out and do fun stuff and travel to Canton, Ohio. That's a fun vacation.
Yes.
So, I mean, for real, I know I keep going back to it because I'm like, man, I can't wait to see all my friends. And I know you can't wait to see all your friends and all of that. The space, the community. I want to talk a little bit more about the fantasy football community. And I'm sorry if you're listening to this and you're like, I'm sick of hearing about the fantasy football community. Tough. You're going to have to listen to it for a little bit longer. But so it is cool that, I mean, you brought up earlier the people that you were listening to, Kate and Michelle, you brought them up. You brought up a bunch of different names in this space. Going to the Fantasy Football Expo, there are a ton of big names there. And there are, you know, those moments where you have to go up to somebody, you have to, but you kind of tell yourself, I have to go up and talk to this person, even though they're a huge name and all this. Was there anybody that like you met last year that you didn't expect to meet and that you were like, wow, like this, that was kind of crazy?
Marcus Grant, he came up to me and he knew who my name was. I'm like, wait, what? Marcus Grant knows I'm Rachel. How is this my life? Oh, he's such an amazing person as well. And also Pat Fitzmaurice, he was another one of my favorites to meet this Fast Expo. He wanted to meet me as well. He came up like, I need to meet you. I really loved your article that you wrote. And I'm like, do you know who you are? You're talking about my article. What's happening? What is happening?
Right? Oh, man. That experience has got to be just like, wow. Jaw dropping. Like, wow, that's cool. That you had to have people come up to you. Like Marcus Grant saying that he knows who you are. And you're like, what? I know. Yeah, that's awesome. I've been trying to get him to come on the show. It's working on scheduling and stuff. But I'm going to tell him how much everybody in the community appreciates him coming to the expo and talking and being an awesome dude. So maybe I'm trying to butter him up so he'll come on. But you know,
hey, future Casey here. Just wanted to let you know that I did book Marcus Grant. So Marcus Grant will be on a future episode of Get Real. Yay. Okay, now back to the episode with Rachel.
What about the fantasy, or not the fantasy, but the Football Hall of Fame? Did you get to go to the Pro Football Hall of Fame while you were there for the expo?
Yeah. And
yes. How was that experience?
I went to the Hall of Fame both years. That is just an amazing place. It's just, you're in awe of all this history, of all these amazing football players and all the memorabilia they have. It's awestruck. I was awestruck and it's just amazing.
Yeah. Last year was my first year to go, even though I've been to the expo, you know, however many times, but last year was my first year to actually finally get to go. And yeah, it was so much better than I thought it was going to be. Like, I don't know. It was really cool. So if you get the opportunity, if you're listening, if you ever get the opportunity to go to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, definitely do that. Especially if you're down there for, you know, the expo. But anyway, what about, I had a question that I wanted to ask you. And of course, then my mind decides that it wants to blank, but so I'll just kind of pivot. We'll just have to pivot here. This is how podcasting is. Sometimes you just have to pivot and it'll come back to me. And that's why I go out of order a lot of times when I'm talking on here, because I'm like, I remember. So, okay. You were talking about college experience and how, you know, you had a creative writing degree. Do you think that helped you with the writing now, even though you hadn't used it in a really long time? Do you think that that played a part in helping you with it? Or do you think that it kind of just came naturally and, you know, it had been so long anyway?
I like to think it helped me. Yeah, definitely.
Have you always liked writing? Like, I know, obviously getting that degree, you had some sort of allegiance to writing, but have you always been a fan of writing, even if you're not putting out content, just writing?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, I've always been a fan of writing. I did most of my writing in college was poetry. That was my niche. And then, so it's interesting, yeah, that I moved on to kind of like blogs or other articles. So it's a different style of writing. So I guess I've learned a little bit new writing technique since I started content creating.
You know, put out a book of fantasy football poetry, because I really think that that's what this world needs. It does. It needs fantasy football poetry. I'm saying, guys, come on now. Me being a lyricist, you know, a freestyle rapper, poetry is right up my alley. Yeah. I'm going off the rails now. We're going to talk about a couple of other things real quick. But like, you basically talked about what you like to do in your free time. Is there anything that you would like to do in the future that you haven't ever had the opportunity to do yet, or that you've been wanting to do that you just, you know, it just hasn't worked out? Or if you could magically, even if you want to take it this way, if there was something that you've never attempted, you don't think you'd be good at it, whatever, is there something that you wish that you could do.
Well, I'm not checking one off the list right now by doing this podcast. So it was something I was like, well, I want to try it, but I've there never done it and I don't know what I'm doing. So join I'm knocking club. That off the list. I just want to do, I think I want to do more writing. So I want to explore the different facets of fantasy football writing. So I'm going to look into exploring different things I could write and learn about. I'm still just 5 years into playing fantasy football. So there's a lot more to learn. So I wonder if through my content creation, if I could pick a different area that I can look into. Maybe I could look at IDP a little bit deeper and try to learn a little bit more of that by using the writing aspect.
Yeah, it is pretty cool though to like, I know that as I put out content, I kind of learn more about fantasy football as I'm going. So it's cool to kind of quote unquote learn on the job, you know. I like that as well. And exploring different types of writing and content, that's really awesome. And this off season, I know I'm writing articles during the off season too. And it is kind of hard when you're like, what do I have to write about? What is there to write about? I mean, with all these trades and crazy sending guys here and dropping guys there and doing all that, I know there's a ton of content out there that needs to be tapped into. It's just like, how do I do that? You know? So you totally got it during the off season. I think it's going to be a perfect time for you to kind of figure out some more stuff to write about and how you want to go about that, just being able to play around with it when it doesn't quote unquote matter. You know, it's not the time that people are like super focused on fantasy football content, but yeah, it's great to see how you've grown in this space. I know that so many people have nothing but nice things to say about you. It's super cool to see people in this space that are like, oh yeah, you know, right. It was cool to see Rachel at the expo when she was just a content consumer. And now to see that she's grown into somebody that's actually putting out content too. That's just so amazing to see. You're doing excellent and being able to check off being on a podcast. I'm glad that I could be the first podcast that you could be on. And I'm hoping that there'll be plenty more out there that you'll join other people. And who knows, maybe dip your toes into the water someday and, you know, baby steps, we'll get there. So today's a Wednesday, but you know, football Sundays are A+ top notch days for me and my household. I'm sure they are that same way with you. How's watching football with Rachel? If I was to sit down and there was a game on, what is your Sunday like when you're watching football?
Well, is it a Minnesota Vikings game? If so, then there's a lot of yelling.
I'm sure there is.
I'm sure. And my cat's like, oh no, she's watching football. I'm going upstairs.
Smart idea. I get it. My dogs also freak out when I'm like, Dallas Cowboys, you are morons. And that's just a common saying in this household. So what about like when it comes to players, do you have a favorite player? Or are there certain players that you, I know you were talking about your Thielen Homer pick back in the day, but is there anybody right now that you're like, you know, that dude's pretty cool.
I'm still a big Adam Thielen fan. I also really like Jalen Hurts. Latavius Murray, I have so much love for him. Oh my gosh, he's just reliable. He's just, you can count on him for a certain amount of touches and he just gets it done. And I love that. I just love that grit that he has. And he's just, you know, very consistent. So I've always had love for him back when he was on the Vikings. That's where that started. I'm trying to think who else. I mean, Christian McCaffrey. I mean, who could not like him? I mean, he's right. Just a beast.
Yes, he is.
Oh, and Alex Anzalone for a defense player. Alex Anzalone. Oh. I really like him.
Look at you. I guess I'm like, who? I'm like, who?
From the Lions. Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent. Excellent. See, I'm learning something new. Like IDP. Yeah. IDP is just not something I've actually, like, I tried to play in an IDP league and it was just not my cup of tea. And I know it's not everybody's, but Sarah wants to be in an IDP. My wife, if you guys are listening, my wife, she wants to be in an IDP league.
Yeah.
Like hardcore wants to be in an IDP league. So I might have to get you to convince her that, you know, try it out.
Yeah, we could try it. Yeah.
Could try it out, you know, or I'll at least tell her Rachel played in IDP league. Why are you not playing in IDP league?
Exactly. I had the courage. She can
courage.
Do it.
Get in there and do it. And I need to interview more people in the IDP space because that is a different space for me completely. And everybody that I've met in the IDP space, it's all been cool. Like the IDP plus people, the IDP guys that are IDP plus now, like got a good relationship with those guys and everything. IDP, when you decided to play IDP, I don't know if I caught this, but Why did you decide to play IDP?
Well, I joined the tournament that IDP Iggy puts on. And so I'm friends with Iggy and met him at the expo, and he encouraged me to try it. So I'm like, okay, for you, I will, but I don't know what I'm doing.
Well, that's always the best thing though, right? To have somebody that like you're comfortable with, that you can be like, hey, I'm going to do this, but I don't know what I'm doing. Like John Bosch is the same way for me. When I join like a John Bosch league, I'm like, bruh, we'll see if I last a year in this league. Like, I don't know. And, you know, usually.
Wow. That's brave. I haven't tried one of his leagues.
Oh my gosh. That man, I don't know where some of these people come up with the ideas that they have, like him and, you know, with the Scott Fishbowl and all the ideas that they have. And then you have like,
I know,
coming up with stuff.
Where do they come up with all these ideas?
It's hard enough coming up with ideas on what to write about.
I know. I like the ingenuity.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It is amazing. If you, you are a commissioner, so I know that in the league that you commission, is it just one league that you commission, or do you commission more than one league?
Just one that I do so far. I want to explore more and try it some more.
Yeah.
That is a goal of mine. That is a goal. There you go. There's a goal that
There's
I want to
do goal.
More.
What commissioning. What kind of league would you want to commission next? The same type of league, or would you want to change it up a bit, or you still thinking about that?
I guess I was envisioning just another one similar of a redraft one, but everyone that does those different tournaments, I mean, I think that's courageous. Maybe I could try something like that, but that seems like it would be challenging.
Yeah, I give props to people who do stuff like that, because I wouldn't know where to start. But I think
exactly.
You'd be able to. There's enough people that I think would also be willing to help, because I know people that already do those are like, yeah, more people like just getting involved in fantasy in general. But like, yeah, getting more people involved in fantasy is always awesome to see. Seeing more people get involved in fantasy football, like if somebody's listening to this right now and has never played fantasy football in their life, which I don't know why they're listening to this podcast, but maybe they're like, you know, one of your friends that doesn't play fantasy football. What would you tell somebody that's like wanting to play fantasy football, that actually knows what it is, but they just never played and they're kind of either nervous or they don't know where to start or they don't know what to do? What kind of advice do you have for somebody that is just brand new to like playing fantasy football?
I'd say just jump in and do it. If you want to do something, just do it. You got to just do it and just surround yourself with, you know, a good buddy or two that, hey, can I ask your advice on this? What should I pick for this draft, or what should I do for this waiver pickup? Because this fantasy football community is just all about helping each other. I mean, there is a lot of competition to fantasy football, but most of it, people just want to be helpful. They want people to learn. They want people to excel. You want your best team to win.
Right.
You know, you don't want somebody that didn't set their lineup to beat you. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
It feels like cheating if that happens. You want to have two solid teams, and then to win, then you really feel like you won.
Right, right. Setting lineups. Whew. I'm sure you haven't come into many issues as a commissioner, but is there anything, maybe not something that you've had to experience, but maybe something that you've thought about, something that like the hardest part of being a commissioner? What do you think that would be? Because I'm a commissioner of a league and I can think of like 15 things.
I would say from the perspective of a player, I had last summer I was in a drafting in a league. These guys were ganging up me for whatever reason. I don't know. I didn't know them very well. And for some reason, they were just being downright mean. And I ended up leaving that. So I understand that that was a really tricky spot for that commissioner. That, you know, like, how do you have these different personalities, or you have people that might be unkind. Like, how do you try to keep the peace and try to keep everyone on the same page? Let's just focus on the draft. So I would think that would be tricky. So that goes back to when we were talking about when I created my league. It's about the people that you invite to the league. I mean,
I did a league a long time ago that I commissioned, and it was like a simple league, simple settings. But it was kind of just mainly people I didn't know at all. A couple of people I did know. And then, I had a rude individual in one of mine going off on everybody and all this stuff. And I'm like, oh my God, I don't want to handle it. Commissioners don't get paid enough for this, because they get paid zero.
Right. Yeah.
To deal with drama and stuff. Yeah. So having that group of people that you can trust, that you enjoy being in a league with, that is key. And I'll agree. Like, my longest standing league is all people that I'm friends with, that I trust, that I respect, you know. So yeah, having that is super key. Have you ever done a live draft?
Yes, I did the Scott Fish Bowl draft last year. I did the live draft in Minneapolis. That was my also my work league. We would, you know, get together and do that in person as well. So those are my experiences. But the Scott Fishbowl live draft is one of a kind. It was an amazing experience. The people that put it together, you know, Scott Fish himself, of course, but all the people that helped to put on these live drafts, kudos to them. I know you did the Dallas one, you organized that. And that's not easy. It's hard work, I know. So thank you for your efforts on that. But that's just a different kind of experience. So we got the Scott Fish Bowl to begin with is just an amazing tournament to be a part of. But then you up the ante by going to a live draft with these individuals that you're drafting with. It's just an amazing experience. It's thrilling. I felt the adrenaline rushing. I'm like, oh my gosh, everyone's looking at me. I'm going to make my draft pick. Don't screw up, Rachel. Don't screw up. So that just the rush of that and the anxiety is, it was like a high. It was such a high. And then, you know, later that night I crashed. I'm like, oh my God, it's over? No. Why is it over? I want to do it again.
Right? That's how it goes.
Maybe this year. Maybe this year.
Maybe this year. Yeah. If anybody out there gets the opportunity to participate in the live draft, whether that be going to the Scott Fishbowl live draft and just hanging out or actually getting to draft, like, it's a blast. I'm not going to draft in Dallas this year because it was too hard running it and drafting.
Imagine that would be. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. My team was horrible. And I was like, whatever. I don't know how many games I won, but it wasn't very many. Not because I'm a bad drafter, just because I wasn't paying attention. Sure. Sure. That's it.
Yeah. We'll go with that.
Yeah. Well, I really do.
And also shout out women. We need more women to go to the live drafts.
Yes. Okay. Please. Please do. Please, more women come to the drafts. We had some at our drafts. We had some that were actually in the Scott Fish Bowl, which was awesome. But yeah, it is nice to see more women coming out to these events. The experience itself is so awesome. It's like a little mini expo. You know, you get to meet up with people from your area that are into fantasy football and kind of make relationships. I got friends that I met from Scott Fish Bowl live drafts, like that live 20 minutes away from here and had no clue.
I had the same experience. Yeah, there's one guy, Todd, that I met at the live draft that he works at the same area that I do. And it's like, what? So we have both connections. We talk fantasy. We talk real world work stuff. It's like, it's amazing. It's amazing connections. All thanks to Scott Fish.
There you go, Scott Fish. Wow, this is like a second, third, fourth, fifth time that he's been dropped just in this episode. But every episode, I swear, I should do a contest and have people count how many times Scott Fish's name gets brought up in. Yeah, and give away a shirt or something. I don't know. But Rachel, I don't want to keep too much more of your time, but it's been such a blast getting to know you, like really getting to know you more. I knew you before this, but I want to say that I really enjoyed getting to know you more during this conversation. So thank you for coming on the show. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Casey, for making this a safe place. It's where I felt like I could do my first one with Casey. I trust her. Mm-hmm. I know her. We're friends. I'm like, I can try this. I'll try it with her and we'll see how it goes.
Well, I am so happy that I could be the first show that you got to do. That means a lot to me too, because, you know, I asked you and I was, because your name gets brought up so much about people just, you know, and every time somebody brings up a name, like I was over here writing down like Marcus Grant when you were saying it, I'm like, yeah. And that's how I get ideas. So like when I was talking to JJ Winner about you and I'm like, yeah, we got to get Rachel on the show to get to know her more. So thank you again. I want you to go ahead and just let everybody know where they can follow you, where they can find you, and just kind of a little bit of what you got going on.
You can find me over on Twitter at TootsiePop6. I post the dates and the information for the Unwind event. So feel free to DM me if you're interested in joining an Unwind event. I also put out content with IBT Media. So if you're looking for my writing and my articles, that's where you'll find it. Hopefully I'll get some more off-season ones popped out. Yeah. And I'll see you in the draft room. I am going to be drafting a lot this year. So hope to see you all in the draft room.
Yes. Go see Rachel in the draft room and go check out Unwind. Go contact her about that. If you're a woman in the space or you're just a woman that loves fantasy football, then you need to reach out to Rachel because she's got a really cool thing going there. So do that. Check out her content and see her in the draft room. And then hopefully we'll see you at the expo or at a Scott Fishbowl live draft or one of those things, because it'll be fun. So I'm going to go ahead and say it. I'm going to go ahead and say it, guys. Thank you, everybody, for coming and listening to this episode of Get Real with Casey Kasem. Make sure you come back next week for another episode. And also remember to stay rad.
get real. Time to get real, everybody.
Hey, fantasy football fanatics. Are you ready to suit up in style this season? Introducing Casey Kasem's Sunday Dreamers Club, your go-to destination for fantasy football-inspired apparel. And here's the touchdown pass. Throughout March, you can score a whopping 15% off your order using code GETREAL at SundayDreamersClub.com. That's right, savings galore on the coolest gear in the game. But here's the extra point. Your support means the world to me. By snagging a shirt, you're not just gearing up for fantasy football. You're also helping fuel my journey and helping to keep this podcast going strong. So huddle up, folks. Head over to SundayDreamersClub.com, punch in code GETREAL, and grab your gear before the clock runs out. Don't keep this deal to yourself. Spread the word, and let's make fantasy football legendary.